Ross Gay, a professor at UNC Chapel Hill, begins every semester by telling his students that they will all be receiving A's. Now, no sneering from my Wolfpack and Blue Devil fans, please. Though it's tempting to make jokes about the academic caliber of the Tar Heels, perhaps, sorry, I know what I'm up against over here. Perhaps Professor Gay is on to something. Professor Gay says that when he makes this announcement, it changes the entire experience of the classroom. He says, we all think better and are happier. I think this is true. It is unequivocally true for me. That is to say, when class is not a site of evaluation, but one of mutual bewilderment, encouragement, support, and witness, i.e. unabashed, being with unabashed care, we learn better. And we learn together what we need to learn. One word for which is curiosity, a more loving and useful aspiration or acquisition or practice by far than mastery could ever be. Instead of spending the semester trying to prove they are good enough or smart enough, Gay students have the opportunity to simply focus on learning, being curious, and supporting one another. They can immerse themselves in the experience and open themselves to being changed, instead of narrowing their experience on mastery of a certain set of facts. In organizing his class this way, Gay is communicating to his students that he already believes they are good enough. And in doing so, he enables them to grow and learn freely. Who we believe we are has an incredible impact on how we show up in the world and how we can accompany others. At Jesus' baptism, we learn who he is and ultimately who we all are. As John baptized Jesus, the heavens tore apart and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, and God spoke words of blessing over Jesus, saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus, who came from Nazareth of Galilee, was claimed as God's beloved. Nazareth was known as the place from which nothing good could come. And yet that is the place God chose to be born and raised. And Jesus, who came from Nazareth, is good and beloved. John the Baptist made clear that something new was happening in the movement he started that was leading to Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ was good news for all people, no matter what their heritage, no matter what family they were born into, no matter what country they called home. It is this baptism story, Jesus' very baptism, that we pattern our baptismal practices after as Baptists. When we decide we are ready to follow Jesus and die to ourselves, we are invited to enter the baptismal waters, and with our church family gathered as witnesses, we invite the Spirit to meet us there, and to not just meet us there, but to change us. When we enter that water, we die to all the old stories that have been told about us, and we are raised to new life in Christ. We gain a new identity, not just another identity that coexists alongside all other identities. No matter who we are, or where we come from, or what we've done, we are claimed as God's beloved. Our identity as God's beloved matters more than anything else. And we're also given the extraordinary task of participating in the reign of God and claiming the belovedness of all of God's children. In our baptism, we are called to proclaim that those who come from places or families that the world does not think highly of are beloved. We're called to notice the ways God invests in those that the world ignores. And we, like Jesus, are given the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit invades our lives and gives us power to participate in the reign of God. We are called to enter into God's mission in the world, a mission that heals the sick, feeds the hungry, and liberates the oppressed, a mission that treats all as beloved. And when we know and can claim our own belovedness, we can know and claim the belovedness of all people. As Henry Nouwen states in his book, Life of the Beloved, I must tell you that claiming your own blessedness always leads to a deep desire to bless others. It is remarkable how easy it is to bless others, to speak good things to and about them, to call forth their beauty and truth when you yourself are in touch with your own blessedness. The blessed one always blesses. In Leon Bridges' song River that Evan and Lou so beautifully sang this morning, Bridges writes about his struggle to claim his own belovedness. Bridges shares this: the song was written during a time of real depression in my life, and I recall sitting in my garage trying to write a song which reflected this struggle. I felt stuck, working multiple jobs to support myself and my mother. I had little hope and couldn't see a road out of my reality. Bridges wrote to remind himself that even though he had been hateful towards other people, had been wrong, had lied, and done all kinds of things that didn't measure up, God invites him into the river to be wiped clean and to wash his sins down the Jordan. Bridges had a dream of playing music for a living, but he never thought it would happen. He played his songs every Tuesday night at a bar in Fort Worth, Texas, and it seemed that that dream was a distant reality. But one night, a guy walked in and asked him, "Are you playing covers?" And Bridges said, "No, they're my own songs." And the guy said, "Well, they sound great. Let's record them." In the music video he made for the song River, Bridges makes clear that the song isn't just about one person's redemption, but also about the hope that there is for the Black community in our country. The video depicts the struggle of Black communities as they continue to suffer the effects of slavery and continuing white supremacy. While showing a home where a father is struggling to care for and provide for his children, the television in this video is showing clips of the Baltimore protest after the murder of Freddie Gray at the hands of police. And after these haunting images, the video pans to Black communities gathering in the rain to sing and dance and light candles and pray. When we go down the Jordan, we are claimed as beloved, especially those that the world denies as beloved. When we go down the Jordan and give every part of ourselves to the good Lord, we release the stories the world tells about us, and we are claimed as God's own. When we go down to the Jordan, we are changed and healed. We find hope. The University of Denver Prison Arts Initiative brings art to those who are incarcerated as a way to promote healing and transformation and to remind those who are incarcerated that they are a part of something larger than themselves. Recently, Nadia Bowles-Weber made her way through metal detectors and locked doors and razor wire to view a production of the musical Godspell. The entire cast and crew and band were the children of God incarcerated inside a maximum security prison in Canyon City, Colorado. Bowles-Weber shared that watching them sing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," and throw glitter to represent the baptismal water was one of the most joyful things she had ever witnessed. In part of her conversation with the performers that day, Bowles-Weber reminded them to whom they belong. she said. When the evil forces that seek to defy God whisper "if" in your ear, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be here. If you belong to God, you wouldn't feel like this. If you really are beloved, then you should have everything you want. Remember that you, all of you, like our Lord, have been given identity and purpose. So when what seems to be depression or addiction or narcissism or despair or discouragement or resentment or isolation takes over, try picturing it as a vulnerable and desperate force seeking to defy God's grace and mercy in your life, and then tell it to piss off. And say defiantly to it, "I am God's." Going down to the Jordan and giving every part of ourselves means claiming our belovedness above all else. It means that when the world seems stacked against us, we say defiantly, "I am God's." When we do that, we can see the beauty and wonder and belovedness in others. Sarah Speed, in her poem, "The Bravest Thing We Can Do," invites us to claim that truth. She writes, "Trust your belovedness. Let it be a protest, an act of resistance, a song of celebration. Trust your belovedness in a world that is rarely satisfied. Wear it like a badge of honor. Speak it as confidently as your last name. Tattoo it to your heart. When outside forces chip away at your sense of self, when life asks you to hand over the keys, remember the water. Remember creation. Remember how it was good, so very good. Let that truth hum through your veins. Sing it so loud that it drowns out the weariness of the world. For the bravest thing we can ever do is trust that we belong here." Today, as you come to the table of our Lord, I invite you to come singing about your belovedness so loud that it drowns out the weariness of the world. I invite you to protest by remembering that all God's creation is good, so very good. I invite you to resist evil by trusting that you belong here and that everyone else does too.